I could not believe, brothers, what I was told. It seemed that I had been in that Vonny Mesto for near ever, and would be there for near ever more. But it had always been a fortnight, and now they said the fortnight was near up. They said, "Tomorrow, little friend, out, out, out." And they made with the old thumb like pointing to freedom. And then the white-coated Vec, who had toll-chocked me, who had still brought me my trays of pisture and like escorted me to my everyday torture, said, "But you still have one real big day in front of you. It's to be your passing out day." And he had a leery smack at that. I expected this morning that I would be ittying as usual to the cinemesto in my pyjamas and toothles and overgown. But no. This morning I was given my shirt and underveshes and my platties of the night and my horror show kick boots, all lovely and washed or ironed and polished. And I was even given my cutthroat britva that I had used in those old happy days for filling and dratsing. So I gave with a puzzled frown at this as I got dressed. But the white-coated undervec just grinned and would gather eat nothing, oh my brothers. I was led quite kindly to the same old mesto. But there were changes there. Curtains had been drawn in front of the cine-screen, and the frosted glass under the projection holes was no longer there, it having perhaps been pushed up or folded to the sides like blinds or shutters. And where there had just been the noise of coughing, and like shadows of the ludies, was now a real audience, and in this audience there were litzos I knew. There was the Stager Governor and the Holy Man, the Charlie or Charles as he was called, and the Chief Chasso, and this very important and well-dressed Chelovet, who was the Minister of the Interior or Inferior. All the rest I did not know. Dr. Brodsky and Dr. Branham were there, though not now white-coated. Instead, they were dressed as doctors would dress, who were big enough to want a dress in the height of fashion. Dr. Branham just stood, but Dr. Brodsky stood and gavareted in a like learned manner to all the ludies assembled. When he vidded me coming in, he said, "Aha! At this stage, gentlemen, we introduce the subject himself. He is, as you perceive, fit and well-nourished. He comes straight from a night's sleep and a good breakfast, undrugged, unhypnotized. Tomorrow we send him with confidence out into the world again, as decent a lad as you would meet on a May morning, inclined to the kindly word and helpful act. What a change is here, gentlemen, from the wretched hoodlum the state committed to unprofitable punishment some 2 years ago. Unchanged after 2 years, unchanged, do I say, not quite. Prison taught him the false smile, the rubbed hands of hypocrisy, the fawning, greased, obsequious leer. Other vices it taught him, as well as confirming him in those he had long practised before. But, gentlemen, enough of words. Actions speak louder than. Action now. Observe all." I was a bit dazed by all this gavareting, and I was trying to grasp in my mind that, like, all this was about me. Then all the lights went out, and then there came on two like spotlights shining from the projection squares, and one of them was full on your humble and suffering narrator. And into the other spotlight there walked a bolshy big Chelovec I'd never vidded before. He had a lardy like litzo and a moustache and like stripes of hair pasted over his near bald gulliver. He was about 30 or 40 or 50, some old age like that, starry. He itted up to me, and the spotlight itted with him, and soon the two spotlights had made like one big pool. He said to me, very sneery, "Hello, heap of dirt. Poo! You don't wash much, judging from the horrible smell." Then, as if he was like dancing, he stamped on my nogas, left, right. Then he gave me a fingernail flick on the nose that hurt like bazoomy, and brought the old tears to my glazes. Then he twisted my left uku like it was a radio dial. I could slooshy titters and a couple of real horror show haw-haw-haws coming from like the audience. My nose and nogas and ear holes stung and pained like bazoomy. So I said, "What do you do that to me for? I've never done wrong to you, brother." "Oh," this Vec said, "I do this." Flick, flick, nose again. "And that." Twisted, smart in ear hole. "And the other." Stamped, nasty on right noga. "Be because I don't care for your horrible type. And if you want to do anything about it, start, please do. Now I knew that I'd have to be real scorry and get my cutthroat Brit out before this horrible killing sickness whooshed up and turned the light joy of battle into feeling I was going to snuff it. But, oh my brothers, as my rooker reached for my Brit in my inside Carmen, I got this like picture in my mind's glazzy of this insulting Chelovec howling for mercy with a red crovy all streaming out of his rot, and hot after this picture the sickness and dryness and pains were rushing to overtake. And I vidded that I'd have to change the way I felt about this rotten Vec very, very scorry indeed. So I felt in my Carmens for cigarettes or for Pretty Polly, and oh my brothers, there was not either of these veshes. I said, like all howly and blubbery, "I'd like to give you a cigarette, brother, but I don't seem to have any." This Vec went, "Wah, wah, boo, hoo, hoo, hoo," cried baby. Then he flicked with his bolshy horny nail at my nose again, and I could slushy very loud smacks of like mirth coming from the dark audience. I said, real desperate, trying to be nice to this insulting and hurtful Vec to stop the pains and sickness coming up, "Please let me do something for you, please." And I felt in me Carmens, but could find only my cutthroat Britfa. So I took this out and handed it to him and said, "Please take this, please. A little present, please have it." But he said, "Keep your stinking bribes to yourself. You can't get round me that way." And he banged at my rooker, and my cutthroat Britva fell on the floor. So I said, "Please, I must do something. Shall I clean your boots? Look, I'll get down and lick them." And my brothers, believe it, or kiss my sherries, I got down on my knees, and I pushed my red Yazik out a mile and a half to lick his grasny vonny boots. But all this Vec did was to kick me not too hard on the rot. So then it seemed to me that it would not bring on the sickness and pain if I just gripped his ankles with my rookers tight round them and brought this grasny brachny down to the floor. So I did this, and he got a real bolshy surprise, coming down crack amid loud laughter from the vonny audience. But vidding him on the floor, I could feel the whole horrible feeling coming over me. So I gave him my rooker to lift him up scorry, and up he came. Then, just as he was going to give me a real nasty and earnest toll chock on the litso, Dr. Brodsky said, "All right, that would do very well." Then this horrible Vec sort of bowed and danced off like an actor, while the lights came up on me blinking, with my rot square for howling. Dr. Brodsky said to the audience, "Our subject is, you see, impelled towards the good by, paradoxically, being impelled towards evil. The intention to act violently is accompanied by strong feelings of physical distress. To counter these, the subject has to switch to a diametrically opposed attitude. Any questions?"
"Choice!"
rumbled a deep gollus. I vidded it belonged to the prison Charlie.
"He has no real choice, has he? Self-interest, fear of physical pain, drove him to that grotesque act of self-abasement. Its insincerity was clearly to be seen. He ceases to be a wrongdoer. He ceases also to be a creature capable of moral choice."
"These are subtleties," like smiled Dr. Brodsky. "We are not concerned with motive, with the higher ethics. We are concerned only with cutting down crime. And," chipped in the bolshy, well-dressed minister, "with relieving the ghastly congestion in our prisons." "Hear, hear," said somebody. There was a lot of gover eating and arguing then, and I just stood there, brothers, like completely ignored by all these ignorant brachneys. So I creeched out,
Me, how about me? Where do I come into all this? Am I just some animal or dog?"
And that started them off gover-eating real loud and throwing slovos at me. So I creeched louder, still creeching,
"Am I just to be like a clockwork orange?"
I didn't know what made me use those slovos, brothers, which just came like without asking into my gulliver. And that shut all those Vec up for some reason for a minute or two. Then one very thin, starry professor type stood up, his neck like all cables, carrying like power from his gulliver to his plot, and he said, You have no cause to grumble, boy. You made your choice, and all this is a consequence of your choice. Whatever now ensues is what you yourself have chosen. And the prison Charlie screeched out,
Oh, if only I could believe that.
And you could vidy the governor, give him a look like meaning that he would not climb so high in like prison religion as he thought he would. Then loud arguing started again, and then I could slushy the slovo love being thrown around. The prison Charles himself creeching as loud as any about perfect love cast without fear and all that cow. And now Dr. Brodsky said, smiling all over his litzo, I am glad, gentlemen, this question of love has been raised. Now we shall see in action a manner of love that was thought to be dead with the Middle Ages. And then the lights went down, and the spotlights came on again, one on your poor and suffering friend and narrator, and into the other there like rolled or siled the most lovely young divotchka you could ever hope in all your jizney, oh my brothers, to vidy. That is to say, she had real horror show groodies, all of which you could like vidy. She having on platties which came down, down, down off our plechos, and her nogas were like bog in his heaven, and she walked like to make you groan in your kishkas, and yet her litso was a sweet, smiling young, like innocent litso. She came up towards me, with the light like it was the like light of heavenly grace, and all that cowl coming with her. And the first thing that flashed into my gulliver was that I would like to have a right down there on the floor with the old in-out real savage. But scories of shot came the sickness, like a light detective that had been watching round the corner and now followed to make his grasny arrest. And now the von of lovely perfume that came off her made me want to think of starting to, like, heave in my kishkas. So I knew I had to think of some new, like, way of thinking about her before all the pain and thirstiness and horrible sickness came over me real horror show and proper. So I creaked out, Oh, most beautiful and beauteous of divotchkas, I throw, like, my heart at your feet for you to, like, trample all over. If I had a rose, I would give it to you. If it was all rainy and cally now on the ground, you could have my platties to walk on, so as not to cover your dainty nogas with filth and cow. And as I was saying all this, oh my brothers, I could feel the sickness like slinking back. Let me, I screeched out, worship you, and be like your helper and protector from the wicked like world. Then I thought of the right slovo, and felt better for it, saying, Let me be like your true knight. And down I went again on the old knees, bowing and like scraping. And then I felt real shooty and dim, it having been like an act again, for this divotchka smiled and bowed to the audience and like danced off, the lights coming up to a bit of applause, and the glazes of some of these starry vex in the audience were like popping out at this young divotchka with dirty and like unholy desires, oh my brothers. He will be your true Christian, Dr. Brodsky was screeching out, ready to turn the other cheek, ready to be crucified rather than crucify, sick to the very heart at the thought even of killing a fly. And that was right, brothers, because when he said that, I thought of killing a fly, and I felt just that tiny bit sick. But I pushed the sickness and pain back by thinking of the fly being fed with bits of sugar and looked after like a bleeding pet and all that cow. Reclamation, he creaked. Joy before the angels of God. The point is, this minister of the inferior was saying real gromky, that it works. Oh, the prison Charlie said, like sighing. It works all right. God help the lot of us. What's it going to be then, eh? That, my brothers, was me asking myself the next morning, standing outside this white building that was like tacked on to the old Stasia, in my platties of the night of 2 years back, in the grey light of dawn, with a malenki bit of a bag with my few personal veshes in and a bit of cutter kindly donated by the Vonny authorities to like start me off in my new life. The rest of the day before had been very tiring. What with the interviews to go on tape for the telly news and photographs being took, flash, 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 and more like demonstrations of me folding up in the face of ultra-violence and all that embarrassing cow. And then I had like fallen into the bed and then, as it looked to me, been waked up to be told to get off out to itty off home. They did not want to vidy your humble narrator, never not no more, oh my brothers. So there I was, very, very early in the morning, with just this bit of Pretty Polly in my left carmen, jingle-jangling it and wondering, what's it going to be then, eh? Some breakfast, some mess dough, I thought, me not having eaten at all that morning, every vet being so anxious to toll-chock me off out to freedom. A chasser of chai, only I repeated. This stager was in a very, like, gloomy part of the town. But there were, like, Malenki workers' cafes all around, and I soon found one of those, my brothers. It was very Callie and Vonnie, with one bulb in the ceiling, with fly dirt, like, obscuring its bit of light. And there were the early rabbiters slurping away at chai and horrible-looking sausages and slices of kleb, which they, like, wolfed, going, wolf, 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 and then creeching for more. They were served by this very Callie Devotchka, but with very bulshy grudies on her. And some of the eating vex tried to grab her, going, haw, 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 while she went, hee, hee, hee. And the sight of them near made me want to sick, brothers. But I asked for some toast and jam and chai, very politely, with my gentleman's gollus. Then I sat in a dark corner to eat and peep. While I was doing this, a Malenki little dwarf of a vec itted in, selling the morning's gazettas. A twisted and grasny Prestupnik type, with thick glasses on with steel rims. His platties like the colour of very starry decaying currant pudding. I kaputted a gazetta. My idea being to get ready for plunging back into normal Jeezny again by vidying what was ittying on in the world. This gazetta I had seemed to be like a government gazetta, for the only news that was on the front page was about the need for every vet to make sure he put the government back in again on the next general election, which seemed to be about 2 or 3 weeks off. They were very boastful slovos about what the government had done, brothers, in the last year or so, what with increased exports and a real horror show foreign policy and improved social services and all that cow. But what the government was really most boastful about was the way in which they reckoned the streets had been made safe for all peace-loving night-walking loodies in the last 6 months. What, with better pay for the police, and the police getting, like, tougher with young hooligans and perverts and burglars and all that cow. Which interessivated your humble narrator some deal. And on the second page of the Gazetta, there was a blurry, like, photograph of somebody who looked very familiar, and it turned out to be none other than me. I looked very gloomy and, like, scared, but that was really with the flashbulbs going pop, pop all the time. What it said underneath my picture was that here was the first graduate from the New State Institute for Reclamation of Criminal Types, cured of his criminal instincts in a fortnight only, now a good law-fearing citizen and all that cow. Then I vidded there was a very boastful article about this Ludovico's technique and how clever the government was and all that cow. Then there was another picture of some vec I thought I knew, and it was the Minister of the Inferior or Interior. It seemed that he had been doing a bit of boasting, looking forward to a nice crime-free era in which there would be no more fear of cowardly attacks from young hooligans and perverts and burglars and all that cow. So I went, ah, and threw the gazetta on the floor so that it covered up stains of spilled chai and horrible spat gobs from the Cali animals that use this calf. What's it going to be then, eh? What it was going to be now, brothers, was homeways and a nice surprise for Dadada and Mum, their only son and heir back in the family bosom. Then I could lay back on the bed in my Malenki den and slushy some lovely music, and at the same time I could think over what to do now with my Jeezny. The discharge officer had given me a long list the day before of jobs I could try for, and he had telephoned to different vecs about me, but I had no intention, my brothers, of going off the rabbit right away. A Malenki bit of a rest first, yeah, and a quiet think on the bed to the sound of lovely music. And so the autobus to Centre, and then the autobus to Kingsley Avenue, the flats of flat block 18A being just near. You will believe me, my brothers, when I say that my heart was going clop, clop, clop with a like excitement. All was very quiet, it still being early winter morning. And when I itted into the vestibule of the flat block, there was no vec about, only the Nagoy vecs and chinas of the Dignity of Labour. What surprised me, brothers, was the way they had been cleaned up, there being no longer any dirty ballooning slovos from the rots of the dignified labourers. Not any dirty parts of the body added to their naked plots by dirty-minded pencilling Melchicks. And what also surprised me was that the lift was working. It came purring down when I pressed the electric knopka. And when I got in, I was surprised again to vidy all was clean inside the light cage. So up I went to the 10th floor, and there I saw 10-8, as it had been before, and my rooker trembled and shook as I took out of my carmen the little clutch I had for opening up. But I very firmly fitted the clutch in the lock and turned, then opened up, then went in. And there I met three pairs of surprised and almost frightened glazies looking at me, and it was P&M having their breakfast. But it was also another vec that I had never vidded in my jeezney before, a bulshy thick vec in his shirt and braces, quite at home, brothers, slurping away at the milky chai and munching at his eggy wag and toast. And it was this stranger vec who spoke first, saying, "Who are you, friend? Where did you get hold of a key? Out, before I push your face in. Get out there and knock. Explain your business quick." My dad and mum sat like petrified, and I could vidy they had not yet read the Gazetta. Then I remembered that the Gazetta did not arrive till Papa had gone off to his work. But then mum said, "Oh, you've broken out. You've escaped. Whatever shall we do? We shall have the police here. Oh, you bad and wicked boy, disgracing us all like this." And believe it, or kiss my sherries, she started to go, "Boo-hoo." So I started to try and explain. They could ring up the Stager if they wanted. And all the time this stranger vac sat there like frowning and looking as if he could push my litzo in with his hairy, bulshy, beefy fist. So I said, "How about you answering a few, brother? What are you doing here and for how long? I didn't like the tone of what you said just then. Watch it. Come on, speak up." He was a working man type vec, very ugly, about 30 or 40, and he sat now with his rot open at me, not gobber-eating one single slovo. Then my dad said, "Well, this is all a bit bewildering, son. You should have let us know you were coming. We thought it would be at least another 5 or 6 years before they let you out." "Not," he said, and he said it very like gloomy, "that we're not very pleased to see you again, and a free man too." "Who is this?" I said. "Why can't he speak up? What's going on in here?"
"This is Joe," said my mum. "He lives here now. He's the lodger, that's what he is. Oh, dear, dear, dear," she went.
"You," said this Joe. "I've heard all about you, boy. I know what you've done, breaking the hearts of your poor grieving parents. So you're back, eh? Back to make life a misery for them once more. Is that it? Over my dead corpse you will, because they've let me be more like a son to them than like a lodger." I could nearly have smacked loud at that if the old razdraz within me hadn't started to wake up the feelings of wanting to be sick, because this vec looked about the same age as my P&M, and there he was like trying to put a son's protecting rooker round my crying mum. Oh, my brothers. "So," I said, and I near felt like collapsing in all tears myself. "So that's it, then? Well, I'll give you 5 large minutes to clear all your horrible Cali veshes out of my room." And I made for this room, this vec being a malenky bit too slow to stop me. When I opened the door, my heart cracked to the carpet, because I vidied it was no longer like my room at all, brothers. All my flags had gone off the walls, and this vec had put up pictures of boxers, also like a team sitting smug with folded rookers and a silver-like shield in front. And then I vidied what else was missing. My stereo and my disc cupboard were no longer there, nor was my locked treasure chest that contained bottles and drugs and 2 shining clean syringes.
"There has been some filthy, vonny work going on here," I creeched. "What have you done with my own personal vessels, you horrible bastard?" This was to this Joe, but it was my dad that answered, saying, "They was all took away, son, by the police. The new regulation, see, about compensation for the victims." I found it very hard not to be very ill, but my Gulliver was aching, shocking, and my rot was so dry that I had to take a scurry swig from the milk bottle on the table, so that this Joe said, "Filthy, piggish manners." I said, "But she died. That one died. It was the cat, son," said my dad, like sorrowful, "that were left with nobody to look after them till the will was read. So they had to have somebody in to feed them. So the police sold your things, clothes and all, to help with the looking after of them. That's the law, son. But you were never much of a one for following the law." I had to sit down then, and this Joe said, "Ask permission before you sit, you mannerless young swine." So I cracked back scorry with a, "Shut your dirty big fat old you," feeling sick. Then I tried to be all reasonable and smiling, for my health's sake, like. So I said, "Well, that's my room. There's no denying that. This is my home also. What suggestion have you, my P&M, to make?" But they just looked very glum. My mum shaking a bit. Her lips are all lines and wet with like tears. And then my dad said, "All this needs thinking about, son. We can't very well just kick Joe out. Not just like that, can we? I mean, Joe's here doing a job. A contract, it is. 2 years. And we made like an arrangement, didn't we, Joe? I mean, son, thinking you were going to stay in prison a long time and that room going begging." He was a bit ashamed. You could vidy that from his litso. So I just smiled and like nodded, saying, "I'll vidy all. You got used to a bit of peace, and you got used to a bit of extra pretty Polly. That's the way it goes. And your son has just been nothing but a terrible nuisance." And then, my brothers, believe me or kiss my sherries, I started to like cry, feeling very like sorry for myself. So my dad said, "Well, you see, son, Joe's paid next month's rent already. I mean, whatever we do in the future, we can't say to Joe to get out, can we, Joe?" This Joe said, "It's you two I've got to think of, who've been like a father and mother to me. Would it be right or fair to go off and leave you to the tender mercies of this young monster who has been like no real son at all? He's weeping now, but that's his craft and artfulness. Let him go off and find a room somewhere. Let him learn the error of his ways, and that a bad boy like he's been doesn't deserve such a good mum and dad as what he's had." "All right," I said, standing up in all like tears still. "I know how things are now. Nobody wants or loves me. I've suffered and suffered and suffered, and everybody wants me to go on suffering, I know."
"You've made others suffer," said this Joe. "It's only right you should suffer proper. I've been told everything that you've done, sitting here at night round the family table, and pretty shocking it was to listen to. Made me real sick, a lot of it did."
"I wish," I said, "I was back in the prison, dear old Starger as it was." "I'm mitting off now," I said. "You won't ever vidy me no more. I'll make me own way, thank you very much. Let it lie heavy on your consciences." My dad said, "Don't take you like that, son." And my mum just went, "Boo-hoo-hoo." Her lips are all screwed up real ugly. And this Joe put his rook around her again, patting her and going, "There, there, there," like Bazooni. And so I just sort of staggered to the door and went out, leaving them to their horrible guilt, oh, my brothers. Itching down the street in a like aimless sort of a way, brothers, in these night platties which loodies like stared at as I went by, cold too, it being a bastard cold winter day, all I felt I wanted was to be away from all this and to not have to think any more about any sort of vesh at all.
So I got the autobus to centre, and then walked back to Taylor Place, and there was a discotheque, Melodia, I had used to favour with my inestimable custom. Oh, my brothers, and it looked much the same sort of mess, though, as it always had. And walking in, I expected to vid the old Andy there, that bald and very, very thin, helpful little vec, from whom I had capetted discs in the old days. But there was no Andy there now, brothers. Only a scream and a creech of Nadsat, teenage that is, Malchiks and Petitsas, sloshing some new horrible pop song and dancing to it as well, and the vec behind the counter not much more than a Nadsat himself, clicking his rooker bones and smacking like Bazoomney. So I went up and waited till he liked deign to notice me. Then I said, "I'd like to hear a disc of the Mozart number 40. I don't know why that should have come into my Gulliver, but it did. The countervec said, "40 what, friend?" I said, Symphony number 40 in G minor. "Oh," went one of the dancing Nadsats, a Malchik with his hair all over his glazies. "Symphony. Don't it seem funny? He wants a symphony." I could feel myself growing all razz-drazz with him, but I had to watch that. So I like smiled at the vec who had taken over Andy's place and at all the dancing and creeching Nadsats. This countervec said, "You go into that listen booth over there, friend, and I'll pipe something through." So I went over to the Malenki box where you could slushy the discs you wanted to buy. And then this vec put a disc on for me. But it wasn't the Mozart 40. It was the Mozart Prague, he seemingly having just picked up any Mozart he could find on the shelf. And that should have started making me real razz-drazz, but I had to watch that for the fear of pain and sickness. But what I'd forgotten was something I shouldn't have forgotten, and now made me want to snuff it. It was that these Dr. Brachneys had so fixed things that any music that was like for the emotions would make me sick, just like vidding or wanting to do violence. It was because all those violent films had music with them. And I remembered especially that horrible Nazi film with the Beethoven fifth last movement. And now here was lovely Mozart made horrible. I dashed out of the shop with these Nadsats smecking after me and the countervec creeching, "Ay, ay, ay!" But I took no notice and went staggering, almost like blind, across the road and round the corner to the Corova milk bar. I knew what I wanted. The Mesto was near empty, it being still morning. It looked strange, too, having been painted with all red mooing cows, and behind the counter was no vec I knew. But when I said, "Milk plus, large," the vec with a, like, lean litso, very newly shaved, knew what I wanted. I took the large Moloco plus to one of the little cubies that were all round this Mesto, there being like curtains to shut them off from the main Mesto. And there I sat down in the plushy chair and sipped and sipped. When I'd finished the whole lot, I began to feel that things were happening. I had my glazies like fixed on a Malenki bit of silver paper from a cancer packet that was on the floor. The sweeping up of this mess, though, not being all that horror show, brothers. This scrap of silver paper began to grow and grow and grow, and it was so, like, bright and fiery that I had to squint my glazies at it. It got so big that it became not only this whole QB I was lolling in, but like the whole Corova, the whole street, the whole city. Then it was the whole world. Then it was the whole everything, brothers. It was like a sea washing over every vesh that ever had been made or thought of even. I could sort of slushy myself making special sort of shooms and gubber eating slovos like, "Dear dead, Idlewilds, rot not in variform guises, and all that cow." Then I could, like, feel the vision beating up and all this silver. And then there were colours like nobody had ever vidded before. And then I could viddy like a group of statues a long, long, long way off that was like being pushed nearer and nearer and nearer, all lit up by very bright light from below and above alike. Oh, my brothers! This group of statues was of God or Bog, and all his holy angels and saints, all very bright like bronze, with beards and bulshy great wings that waved about in a kind of wind, so that they could not really be of stone or bronze, really, and the eyes or glasses like moved and were alive. These Bolshevik figures came nearer and nearer and nearer till they were like going to crush me down, and I could slush in my gollus going, eee! And I felt I had got rid of everything, platties, body, brain, name the lot, and felt real horror show, like in heaven. Then there was a shoom of like crumbling and crumpling, and Bog and the angels and saints sort of shook their gullivers at me, as though to gather eat, that there wasn't quite time now, but I must try again. And then everything like leered and smacked and collapsed, and the big warm light grew like cold, and then there I was as I was before, the empty glass on the table, and wanting to cry and feeling like death was the only answer to everything. And that was it. That was what I vidded quite clear was the thing to do. But how to do it, I did not properly know, never having thought of that before. Oh, my brothers, in my little bag of personal veshes, I had my cutthroat Britva. But I at once felt sick at the thought of myself going swish at myself and all my own red crovy flowing. What I wanted was not something violent, but something that would make me, like, just go off gentle to sleep. And that be the end of your humble narrator. No more trouble to anybody any more. Perhaps, I thought, if I headed off to the public biblio round the corner, I might find some book on the best way of snuffing it with no pain. I thought of myself dead and how sorry everybody was going to be. P&M and that Cali Vonny Joe, who was like a usurper, and also Dr. Brodsky and Dr. Branham and that inferior interior minister and every vec else, and the boastful Vonny government too. So out I scatter into the winter. It was afternoon now, nearly 2 o'clock, as I could vidy from the Bolshy centre timepiece, so that me being in the land of the old Maloko Plus must have took like longer than I thought. I walked down Margarita Boulevard, and then turned into Boothby Avenue, then round the corner again, and there was the public biblio. It was a starry, Cali sort of mess, though, that I could not remember going into, since I was a very, very Malenki Malchik, no more than about 6 years old. And there were two parts of it, one part to borrow books, and one part to read in, full of gazettas and mags and like the von of very starry old men with their plots stinking of like old age and poverty. These were standing at the gazetta stands all round the room, sniffling and belching and gabbering to themselves and turning over the pages to read the news very sadly, or else they were sitting at the tables looking at the mags or pretending to, some of them asleep and one or two of them snoring real grumpy. I couldn't like remember what it was I wanted at first. Then I remembered with a bit of a shock that I had itted here to find out how to snuff it without pain, so I goolied over to the shelf full of reference veshes. There were a lot of books, but there was none with a title, brothers, that would really do. There was a medical book that I took down, but when I opened it, it was full of drawings and photographs of horrible wounds and diseases, and that made me want to sick just a bit. So I put that back and then took down the big book, or Bible, as it was called, thinking that might give me like comfort, as it had done in the old Stager days. Not so old, really, but it seemed a very, very long time ago, and I staggered over to a chair to read in it. But all I found was about smiting 70 times 7, and a lot of Jews cursing and toll-chocking each other, and that made me want to sick too. So then I near cried, so that a very starry, ragged mooge opposite me said, "What is it, son? What's the trouble?" "I want to snuff it," I said. "I've had it. That's what it is. Life's become too much for me." A starry reading vec next to me said, "Shh," without looking up from some presumably mag he hid full of drawings of like bolshy geometrical veshes. That rang a bell somehow. This other mooge said, "You're too young for that, son. Why, you've got everything in front of you." "Yes," I said, bitter, "like a pair of false grudies." This mag-reading vec said, "Shh," again, looking up this time. And something clocked for both of us. I vidded who it was. He said real grumpy, "I'll never forget a shape, by God. I never forget the shape of anything, by God, you young swine. I've got you now." Crystallography. That was it. That was what he'd been taking away from the biblio that time. False teeth crunched up real horror show. Platy's torn off. His books razzrezzed, all about crystallography. I thought I had best get out of here real scurry, brothers. But this starry old Mooge was on his feet, creeching like Bazumni to all the starry old coffers at the gazetters round the walls, and to them dozing over mags at the tables. "We have him," he creached. "The poisonous young swine who ruined the books on crystallography. Rare books. Books not to be obtained ever again anywhere." This had a terrible mad shume about it, as though this old vet was really off his Gulliver. "A prize specimen of the cowardly, brutal young," he creached. "Here in our midst, and at our mercy. He and his friends beat me and kicked me and thumped me. They stopped me and tore out my teeth. They laughed at my blood and my moans. They kicked me off home, dazed and naked." All this wasn't quite true, as you know, brothers. He had some platties on. He hadn't been completely Nagoy. I creeched back. "That was over 2 years ago. I've been punished since then. I've learnt my lesson. See over there? My picture's in the paper." "Punishment, eh?" said one starry light ex-soldier type. "You lot should be exterminated, like so many noisome pests. Punishment, indeed." All right, I said. "Everybody's entitled to his opinion. Forgive me all, I must go now." And I started to itty out of this mess of Bazumni old men. Aspirin, that was it. You could snuff it on 100 aspirin. Aspirin, from the old drugstore. But the crystallography vet creeched. "Don't let him go. We'll teach him about punishment, the murderous young pig. Get him!" And believe it, brothers, or do the other vesh, two or three starry dodderers, about 90 years old apiece, grabbed me with their trembly old rookers, and I was like made sick by the von of old age and disease which came from these near-dead mooges. The crystallography vet was onto me now, starting to deal me malenki weak toll chocks on my litso. And I tried to get away and itty out, but these starry rookers that held me were stronger than I'd thought. Then other starry vets came hobbling from the gazettas to have a go at your humble narrator. They were creeching verses like, "Kill him! Stamp on him! Murder him! Kick his teeth in!" and all that cow. And I could vidy what it was, clear enough. It was old age having a go at youth. That's what it was. But some of them were saying, "Poor old Jack. Near killed poor old Jack, he did. This is the young swine," and so on, as though it all happened yesterday. Which to them, I suppose it had. There was now like a sea of vonny, runny, dirty old men trying to get at me with their like feeble rookers and horny old claws creeching and panting onto me. But our crystal droog was there in front, dealing out tolchok after tolchok. And I daren't do a solitary single vesh, oh my brothers, it being better to be bit at like that than to want to sick and feel that horrible pain. But of course, the fact that there was violence going on made me feel the sickness was peeping round the corner to vidy whether to come out into the open and roar away. Then an attendant vet came along, a youngish vec, and he creeched, "What goes on in here? Stop it at once. This is a reading room." But nobody took any notice. So the attendant vec said, "Right, I shall phone the police." So I creeched, and I never thought I would ever do that in all my jeezny. "Yes, yes, yes. Do that. Protect me from these old madmen." I noticed that the attendant vec was not too anxious to join in the dretzin and rescue me from the rage and madness of these starry vex claws. He just scattered off to his light office or wherever the telephone was. Now these old men were panting a lot now, and I felt I could just flick at them and they would fall over. But I just let myself be held, very patient, by these starry rookers, my glasses closed, and feel the feeble tolchocks on my litso, also slushy the panting breathy old golosses creeching, "Young swine! Young murderer! Hooligan! Thug! Kill him!" Then I got such a real painful toe chop on the nose that I said to myself, to hell, to hell. And I opened my glasses up and started to struggle to get free, which was not hard, brothers. And I tore off, creeching to the sort of hallway outside the reading room. But these starry Avengers still came after me, panting like dying, with their animal claws all trembling to get at your friend and humble narrator. Then I was tripped up and was on the floor and was being kicked at. Then I slushied galosses of young vets screeching, all right, stop it now. And I knew the police had arrived. I was like dazed, oh my brothers, and could not vidi very clear. But I was sure I had met these Millicents some mesto before. The one who had hold of me going, there, just by the front door of the public biblio, him I did not know at all. But it seemed to me he was like very young to be a Roz. But the other two had backs that I was sure I had vidded before. They were lashing into these starry old vets with great bolshy glee and joy, swishing away with my lanky whips, screeching, there, you naughty boys. That should teach you to stop rioting and breaking the state's peace, you wicked villains, you. So they drove these panting and wheezing and near-dying starry Avengers back into the reading room. Then they turned round, smacking with the fun they'd had to viddy me. The older one of the two said, Well, if it isn't little Alex... Very long time, no viddy, Droog. How goes? I was like dazed. The uniform and the schlem or helmet making it hard to viddy who this was. Though Litso and Gollus were very familiar. Then I looked at the other one, and about him, with his grinning bazoomy Litso, there was no doubt. Then, all numb and growing number, I looked back at the welling one. This one was then fat old Billy Boy, my old enemy. The other was, of course, Dim, who had used to be my droog, and also the enemy of stinking, fat, goaty Billy Boy, who was now a Millicent, with uniform and schlem and whip to keep order. I said, oh, no.
Surprise, eh?
And old Dim came out with the old guff I remembered so horror show. It's impossible, I said. It can't be so. I don't believe it. Evidence of the old glassies, grinned Billy Boy. Nothing up our sleeves. No magic, Droog. A job for two who are now of job age. The police.
You're too young, I said. Much too young. They don't make Rosses and Malchicks of your age.
Was young,
went old Millicent Dim. I could not get over it, brothers. I really could not.
That's what we were, young Droogie. And you it was that was always the youngest, and here now we are.
I still can't believe it, I said. Then Billy Boy, Roz Billy Boy, that I couldn't get over, said to this young Millicent that was like holding on to me, and that I did not know. More good would be done, I think, Rex, if we doled out a bit of the old summary. Boys will be boys, as always was. No need to go through the old station routine. This one here has been up to his old tricks, as we can well remember, though you of course can't. He has been attacking the aged and defenceless, and they have properly been retaliating. But we must have our say in the state's name. What is all this? I said, not able hardly to believe my uckos. It was them that went for me, brothers. You're not on their side and can't be. You can't be Dim. It was the vet we filly with once in the old days, trying to get his own malenky bit of revenge after all this long time.
Long time is right, said Dim. I don't remember them days to horror show. Don't call me Dim no more either. Officer call me.
Enough is remembered though, Billy Boy kept nodding. He was not so fatty as he had been. Naughty little Malchicks handed with cutthroat Britfers. These must be kept under. And they took me in a real strong grip and, like, walked me out of the biblio. There was a Millicent patrol car waiting outside, and this vet they called Rex was the driver. They like toll-chocked me into the back of this auto, and I couldn't help feeling it was all really like a joke, and that Dim anyway would pull his schlem off his gulliver and go, ho, ho, ho. But he didn't. I said, trying to find the strack inside me. And old Pete, what happened to old Pete? It was sad about Georgie, I said. I slushed all about that.
Pete, oh yeah, Pete,
said Dim.
I seem to remember, like, the name.
I could vidy we were driving out of town. I said, where are we supposed to be going? Billy Boy turned round from the front to say, it's light still. A little drive into the country. All winter bare, but lonely and lovely. It is not right, not always, for ludies in the town to vidy too much of our summary punishment. Streets must be kept clean in more than one way. And he turned to the front again.
Come, I said, I just don't get this at all. The old days are dead and gone days. For what I did in the past, I have been punished. I have been cured.
That was read out to us, said Dim. The super read all that out to us. He said it was a very good way.
Read to you, I said, a malenky bit nasty. You still too dim a roof for yourself, oh brother.
Oh, nah.
Said Dim, very, like, gentle and, like, regretful.
Not to speak like that. Not no more, Droogie.
And he launched a bolsy tolchok right on my club, so that all red, red nose crovy started to drip, drip, drip. There was never any trust, I said, bitter, wiping off the crovy with my rooker. I was always on my oddy knocky. This will do, said Billy Boy. We were now in the country, and it was all bare trees and a few odd distant, like, twitters. And in the distance there was some, like, farm machine making a whirring shoom. It was getting all dusk now, this being the height of winter. There was no ludies about, nor no animals. There was just the four.
Get out, Alex boy,
said Dim.
Just a malenky bit of summary.
All through what they did. This driver vet just sat at the wheel of his auto, smoking a cancer, reading a malenky bit of a book. He had the light on in the auto to vidy by. He took no notice of what Billy Boy and Dim did to your humble narrator. I will not go into what they did, but it was all like panting and thudding against this like background of whirring farm engines and the twit, twit, twittering in the bare or nagoy branches. You could vidy a bit of smoky breath in the auto light, this driver turning the pages over quite calm. And they were on to me all the time, oh my brothers. Then Billy Boy or Dim, I couldn't say which one, said, about enough, Droogie, I should think, shouldn't you? Then they gave me one final toll chock on the litso each, and I fell over and just lay there on the grass. It was cold, but I was not feeling the cold. Then they dusted their rookers and put back on their slems and tunics, which they had taken off, and then they got back into the auto. Be vidying you some more sometime, Alex, said Billy Boy, and Dim just gave one of his old clowny guffs. The driver finished the page he was reading and put his book away. Then they started the auto, and they were off townwards, my ex-droog and ex-enemy waving, but I just laid there, fagged and shagged. After a bit I was hurting bad, and then the rain started all icy. I could vidy no ludies in sight, nor no lights of houses. Where was I to go, who had no home and not much cutter in my carmans? I cried for myself, boo-hoo-hoo. Then I got up and began walking. Home, home, home. It was home I was wanting, and it was home I came to, brothers. I walked through the dark and followed not the town way, but the way where the shoom of like a farm machine had been coming from. This brought me to a sort of village I felt I had vidied before, but was perhaps because all villages looked the same, in the dark especially. Here were houses, and there was a like drinking mess though, and right at the end of the village there was a malenky cottage on its oddy knocky, and I could vidy its name shining on the gate. Home, it said. I was all dripping wet with this icy rain, so that my plaities were no longer in the height of fashion, but real miserable and like pathetic, and my luscious glory was a wet, tangled, cally mess all spread over my gulliver. And I was sure there were cuts and bruises all over my litso, and a couple of my zubies sort of joggled loose when I touched them with my tongue or yazzik. And I was sore all over my plot and very thirsty, so that I kept opening my rot to the cold rain. And my stomach growled all the time with not having any pisha since morning, and then not very much, oh my brothers. Home, it said, and perhaps here would be some vet to help. I opened the gate and sort of slithered down the path, the rain like turning to ice, and then I knocked gentle and pathetic on the door. No vet came, so I knocked a malenki bit longer and louder, and then I heard the shoom of nogas coming to the door. Then a door opened and a male gola said, "Yes? What is it?" "Oh," I said, "please help. I've been beaten up by the police and just left to die on the road. Oh, please give me a drink of something and a sit by the fire. Please, sir." The door opened full then, and I could really like warm light and a fire going, crackle, crackle within. "Come in," said this vec, "whoever you are. God help you, you poor victim. Come in and let's have a look at you." So I like staggered in, and it was no big act I was putting on, brothers. I really felt done and finished. This kind vec put his rookers round my plechos and pulled me into this room where the fire was. And of course, I knew right away now where it was and why home on the gate looked so familiar. I looked at this vec, and he looked at me in a kind sort of way, and I remembered him well now. Of course, he would not remember me, for in those carefree days, I and my so-called droogs did all our bolshy dratsin' and fillin' and crastin' in maskies, which were real horror show disguises. He was a shortish vec, in middle age, 30, 40, 50, and he had hotchkies on. "Sit down by the fire," he said, "and I'll get you some whiskey and warm water. Dear, 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 somebody has been beating you up." And he gave a light, tender look at my gulliver and litso. "The police," I said, "the horrible, ghastly police." "Another victim," he said, like sighing. "A victim of the modern age. I'll go and get you that whiskey, and then I must clean up your wounds a little." And off he went. And I'd a look round this malenki comfortable room. It was nearly all books now, and a fire and a couple of chairs, and you could vidy somehow that there wasn't a woman living there. On the table was a typewriter, and a lot of tumbled papers, and I remembered that this vec was the writer vec, A Clockwork Orange, that had been it. It was funny that that stuck in my mind. I must not let on, though, for I needed help and kindness now. Those horrible Grazny Brachnys in that terrible white mess though had done that to me, making me need help and kindness now, and forcing me to want to give help and kindness myself, if anybody would take it. "Here we are, then," said this vec returning. He gave me this hot, stimulating glassful to Pete, and it made me feel better. And then he cleaned up these cuts on my litso. Then he said, "You have a nice hot bath. I'll draw it for you. Then you can tell me all about it over a nice hot supper, which I'll get ready while you're having a bath." Oh, my brothers, I could have wept at his kindness, and I think he must have vidded the old tears in my glazies, for he said, "There, there, there," patting me on the plecho. Anyway, I went up and had this hot bath, and he brought me in pyjamas and an overgown for me to put on, all warm by the fire. Also, a very worn pair of twofles. And now, brothers, though I was aching and full of pains all over, I felt I would soon feel a lot better. I itted downstairs and vidded that in the kitchen he had set the table with knives and forks and a fine big loaf of kleb, also a bottle of prima sauce. And soon he served out a nice fry of eggywegs and long ticks of ham and bursting sausages and big bolshy mugs of hot, sweet, milky chai. It was nice sitting there in the warm eating, and I found I was very hungry, so that after the fry, I had to eat long ticks after long ticks of kleb and butter spread with strawberry jam out of a bolshy great pot.
A lot better, I said. How can I ever repay?
I think I know who you are, he said. If you are who I think you are, then you've come, my friend, to the right place. Wasn't that your picture in the papers this morning? Are you the poor victim of this horrible new technique? If so, then you have been sent here by Providence. Tortured in prison, then thrown out to be tortured by the police. My heart goes out to you. Poor, poor boy. Brothers, I could not get a Slovo in, though I had my rot wide open to answer his questions. You are not the first to come here in distress, he said. The police are fond of bringing their victims to the outskirts of this village. But it is providential that you, who are also another kind of victim, should come here. Perhaps, then, you have heard of me. I had to be very careful, brothers. I said, I have heard of A Clockwork Orange. I have not read it, but I have heard of it. Ah, he said. And his lips so shone like the sun in its flaming morning glory. Now tell me about yourself. Little enough to tell, sir, I said, all humble. There was a foolish and boyish prank, my so-called friends persuading, or rather forcing me to break into the house of an old petitza, lady I mean. There was no real harm meant. Unfortunately, the lady strained her good old heart, trying to throw me out. Though I was quite ready to go of my own accord. And then she died. I was accused of being the cause of her death. So I was sent to prison, sir. Yes, yes, yes. Go on. Then I was picked out by the Minister of the Inferior or Interior to have this Ludovico Vesh tried out on me. Tell me all about it, he said, leaning forward eager. His pullover elbows with all strawberry jam on them from the plate I'd pushed to one side. So I told him all about it. I told him the lot, all, my brothers. He was very eager to hear all, his glasses like shining and his goobers apart, while the grease on the plates grew harder, harder, harder. When I finished, he got up from the table, nodding a lot and going, picking up the plates and other veshes from the table and taking them to the sink for washing up. I said, I will do that, sir, and gladly. Rest, rest, poor lad, he said, turning the tap on so that all steam came burping out. You've sinned, I suppose, but your punishment has been out of all proportion. They have turned you into something other than a human being. You have no power of choice any longer. You are committed to socially acceptable acts, a little machine, capable only of good. And I see that clearly. That business about the marginal conditionings, music and the sexual act, literature and art, all must be a source now not of pleasure, but of pain. That's right, sir, I said, smoking one of this kind man's cork-tipped cancers. They always bite off too much, he said, drying a plate like absent-mindedly. But the essential intention is the real sin. A man who cannot choose ceases to be a man. That's what the child said, sir, I said. The prison chaplain, I mean. Did he? Did he? Of course he did. He'd have to, wouldn't he, being a Christian. Well, now then, he said, still wiping the same plate he'd been wiping 10 minutes ago. We shall have a few people in to see you tomorrow. I think you can be used, poor boy. I think you can help dislodge this overbearing government. To turn a decent young man into a piece of clockwork should not surely be seen as any triumph for any government, save one that boasts of its repressiveness. He was still wiping this same plate. I said, sir, you're still wiping that same plate. I agree with you, sir, about boasting. This government seems to be very boastful. Oh, he said, like vidding this plate for the first time and then putting it down. I'm still not too handy, he said, with domestic chores. My wife used to do them all and leave me to my writing. Your wife, sir, I said. Has she gone and left you? I really wanted to know about his wife, remembering very well. Yes, left me, he said in a light, loud and bitter gollus. She died, you see. She was brutally raped and beaten. The shock was very great. It was in this house. His rookers were trembling, holding a wiping-up cloth. In that room next door. I have had to steel myself to continue to live here. But she would have wished me to stay here where her fragrant memory still lingers. Yes, yes, yes. Poor little girl. I vid it all clearly, my brothers. What had happened that far-off notchy. And vidding myself on that job, I began to feel I wanted to sick, and the pain started up in my gulliver. This vec vidded this because my litzo felt it was all drained of red crovy, very pale, and he would be able to viddy this. "You go to bed now," he said kindly. "I've got the spare room ready. Poor, poor boy. You must have had a terrible time. A victim of the modern age. Just as she was. Poor, poor, poor girl."